This episode is brought to you by Treehouse. Do you ever wish you could look over the shoulder of your designer or developer heroes and learn from the best? Well, at Treehouse you can. With a gold membership, you get access to their entire projects library. Watch as their crackerjack team take various projects from idea to implementation, then download the source code and get your own hands dirty. You can finish it all off by completing quizzes and code challenges to show off what you've learned. Build your app, launch your own startup, or get that dream gig. Go to teamtreehouse.com/learn/projects to learn more. There'll be a link, of course, in the show notes. At Treehouse, they're trying to help you bring your ideas to the light of day. Excuses not included.
Mr. Hurley.
Mr. Roan.
How are you, my friend?
Dandy, good sir. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. That queen of you, had a big jubilee over there and in the British Isle.
Yep. Last week sometime. Yeah. And there's been a lot of British pride knocking about these fair isles at the moment. Lots of Union flags hanging all over the place, and it's been nice.
That's great.
Yeah, it's nice. We don't display our flag as much as our cousins in the States do. Well, I don't think there's any real specific reason for it. I just think the country tends to have, on a daily basis, a lot less patriotism.
I think when you've been around for, I don't know, 1,000 years, you really don't have to, you know, that speaks for itself.
You don't need to shout about it so much. I mean, exactly. I think that's the mindset is slightly different, right?
Right.
But then when we do it, we really go for it as well, you know?
Yeah. Well, as well you should. I mean, 60 years, that's a momentous occasion.
Very.
My wife was relating to me that she was there for the Silver Jubilee.
Right.
When she was younger. I.e., 25 years.
Yep.
So, you know, that's just crazy when you think about it. But we didn't come to talk about England.
We didn't.
So, this is what I did want to talk about. So there's a book that I've only started to peruse. So please forgive me if I get any of this wrong. But the name of the book is recommended to me by my friend Garrick. It's called Thinking Fast and Slow, and is basically about how we think and how we have kind of two sides to our brain. You know, two thinking centers to our brain, and one of those is has evolved to be very reactionary. It's meant to, like, you know, oh my gosh, there's a lion, you know, run, sort of thing. Oh my gosh, there's a dragon, fight. You know what I mean? It's you know, this very kind of you know, it's what spurs us to action when met with danger.
Yeah.
And keeps us safe, right? But then there's this other part that is more analytical and thinks through things a lot and has a tendency to, you know, that's the part that that makes us say, yes, there's a lion, but it's 20 yards away and in a cage, so we don't have to run, right? and that these two parts of our brains are constantly in conversation with each other. You know, one is reacting and the other one is analyzing. And that this is a good thing. It's a good balance most of the time. So, that said, I think a lot of times, and, you know, this book kind of points this out, the analytical part of our brain is kind of lazy.
Mm-hmm.
It likes to move slow.
Take its time to think things through.
Likes to take its time to think things through. And because of that, it can oftentimes accept the lies that the fast part of our brain tells us. right? It is, for instance, these are the manifestations of phobias, right? I've got a fear of flying. Why do I have a fear of flying? Because it could crash. Well, the chances of that happening or this, that, and the other, are so infinitesimally small in comparison to all the other things that could kill us that is it really worth worrying about? Well, in that case, the analytical brain is going, yes, I understand the analysis. I understand the truth, but it's going to kill us because the fast part of our brain told us it is, right? And we're just going to believe it because it's much easier than doing the analysis.
And who has the time?
And it has the time, right? So I think a lot of times projects and tasks get caught inside of that tension. And I have a really good recent, for instance, of this. This is something that actually happened to me. So we recently came into possession of a really nice 5-burner gas grill. Like, the executive all-American barbecue model. Like the kind that you guys just don't even know about over there.
Because we don't. Well, what's the point?
Yeah,
what's the point? One day a sunny year.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Plus, you have a big wad of meat that you throw into your ovens every Sunday. Why would you need to grill it, right?
Exactly. Roast it.
Yeah, you just roast it. You throw it in the oven. But here, we like to think that cooking over flame, open flame somehow makes us more, I don't know, manly. And so we do that a lot, especially in the summer. And so got this really nice grill. It was given to us. A friend of ours had it, and her husband hardly used it. They got it as a gift, and they're just not really much for grilling. And he's in the army and away over in Afghanistan somewhere. And so she's even grilling even less now. It just didn't get used. And at some point, it had gotten knocked over in a windstorm on their deck, and it broke off all the knobs, basically shattered the knobs, the plastic knobs on the front, and then broke off one of the little doohickey things that the knobs attached to. And they even went through the trouble of ordering up the replacement parts, ordered up this whole new control panel unit and ordered up all brand new knobs, had all this stuff still sitting in the box. Finally, we were looking for a grill, and my wife had put out on Facebook that, hey, if anyone has a gas grill that they want to sell, we'd like to buy it. And she was like, oh, not only do I have one, you can have it, but you're going to have to fix it, and here's what needs to be done, but we don't think it's all that hard. But you can take it. You can have it. Score bonus,
yeah.
I mean, 'cause it's brand new. This grill probably costs $350, $400.
Mm-hmm.
And so, went out and got it, brought it back home, along with the parts in their boxes, unloaded it from the car. I kind of opened it up, and I looked at the manual, and I opened up the box of parts, and I looked at that, and kind of did a quick 5-minute assessment of the situation, decided that this was a big, huge project that I just didn't have any time for, and that it was going to take hours, and I obviously didn't have hours to spend on it right then and there, and that I would get to it eventually.
This was 7 years ago. Yep.
It might as well have been, right? It was a little bit over a month ago. I passed by the thing all the time, going to and from the garage because it's just sitting out there in the backyard on the patio. And You know, I had a project all set up in OmniFocus, you know, fix gas grill, you know, step one, you know, research instructions to discover how to do it, you know, step two. Yeah, I mean, the whole nine yards. Mm-hmm. I'd broken it all out and became this big kind of two-beer lazy Sunday afternoon project. Finally, this past Sunday, I found the time to do it. And so I started to dig in and took the parts out of the box and got my drill and the screwdriver bits and started to take it apart, you know, because there's several screws and that I was going to have to basically disassemble the grill to get to this control panel part. And so I started to do that. And all of a sudden, this little voice, likely coming from the slow part of my brain, said, because remember, the slow part of your brain is also the lazy part of your brain. It said, you know, you don't have to do this. There's 5 burners on this grill, and only one of them is broken. You're going through all of this work to replace the entire control panel, all 5 of these doohickeys and this whole big piece, when really, you could just stick the knobs on the 4 that remain and cook up a storm. I mean, it's like this huge light bulb went off in my head.
Mm-hmm.
The thought never occurred to me that, oh my gosh, maybe I don't have to do this project. Maybe it will work just fine as it sits right here and now. That finally the analytical part caught up with the part that was screaming, there are lions there, and brought some reason and rationality to the situation. Which was great because, you know, so I'm like, great. So I stop what I'm doing, stop where I am, take the knobs out of there, little individual boxes, put them on the 4 that are not broken. Then the little voice said, why don't you bend down and look inside the hole where the broken doohickey is? And so I did. And right next to where the broken doohickey, there were 2 little screws. And so I look over at the control panel, the working one, the replacement one. And right next to all of its doohickeys were these 2 little screws. And if I could just get a thin, small screwdriver in there, I could unscrew these screws and take off the broken doohickey and replace it with one of the doohickeys from the big replacement control unit, which I did. And now I have a practically new working 5 burner gas grill. And instead of it taking me hours to get there, like the fast thinking part of my brain had convinced the slow part of my brain that it would, it took me really 20 minutes, a good 10 of which were spent, you know, basically getting halfway into, you know, not even halfway, getting, you know, starting down the wrong path. And I think that this is just a general lesson overall. That sometimes our lizard brains build mountains where only roads exist, mainly so we have an excuse not to venture down them. But in fact, that friction is fiction.
Mm-hmm.
It is just the fast-thinking part of our brain that is, you know, in constant search of having to do as little work as possible, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the smallest amount of work is to not do any work at all, right? You know, the safest thing to do is to not venture down this unknown path. You know, that the safest thing to do is to not get on that plane that could possibly fall out of the sky at any moment. Despite the fact that there's nothing down that path and that that plane will not fall.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, how many projects, you know, can you look through your list of tasks, your list of projects, and identify the many I'm sure are there that fall into that category that you've convinced yourself are harder than they look on the face of it, or that take more time than you've convinced yourself they take more time than they actually do, or any other number of impediments that your lizard brain has put there to make you move on to something else, to something easier, to something, I don't know, that takes less effort.
It's like I have this sometimes when, it, you know, I think to myself, oh, I've got far too many to-do items today than I have time for, and that means I might as well just not do any of them. And then when I actually take the time to actually grab an index card and a pen and write down what it actually is, it's not as big or as scary as I thought it would be, and it's actually not that many things, and more than achievable.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the part of my brain that's saying to me, you don't have the time for this. And when I engage my analytical brain in trying to actually work out the time for it, it's a lot more manageable.
Yeah. Well, and in my experience, what I find is I'll write down that list ahead and look at the list and go, oh my gosh, that's a lot of stuff. But when I start actually doing them, knocking them off, I look down and suddenly that list is cut in half. I'm like, holy cow, I'm on fire. You know, this is great.
Yeah.
But yeah, complete fiction. Complete fiction that your mind puts up to say, oh, you're never going to make it. You're never going to be able to do all of this. Why even bother trying? Because it's so much easier to not, right? Mm-hmm. It's so much easier to give in to fast brain, to lizard brain, especially because slow analytical brain is really lazy, would really not rather not do that stuff, right? So I don't know. That's my thought for the day. I think So many things fall into that tension, into that category between fast thinking and slow thinking. And that, if we just take the time to really give it an honest look, oh, the things we could do, right? Mm-hmm. And also that the great things have been achieved by people simply overcoming that. Right? By simple people simply not believing not only their brain, but all the other people that told them something can't be done, right? We could never put a man on the moon. We could never achieve racial equality in the United States, right? that these things, are all mountains and roads specifically built to keep people from venturing down them, right? And all it took was for one person to say, Not only don't I believe there's a mountain there, but if there is and I encounter it, I'll just simply walk over it and keep going down the road. That's what history is made of. And in ways big and small, that's what our lives are made of too.
Mm-hmm.
So, with that, I think we should just talk later.
We will. Cheers.
Cheers.